Jean Weingarten is a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist with the Washington Post. He is known for both his serious and humorous work. A few years ago, in 2008, he organized an experiment. He invited an internationally acclaimed virtuoso of the violin, Joshua Bell, to play his Stradivarius worth, excuse me, $3.5 million in the subway station, Langfang Plaza, in the heart of Washington, D.C., during rush hour. The intention was to see and record, obviously there's a video recording of this, what people would do, how they would react. Would they be captured by the beauty of the music, or would they hurry by to their work, to their jobs? Joshua arrived at 7:50, if I remember correctly, early in the morning. He took his position by a wall close to a trash can. He was wearing jeans and t-shirts and a baseball cap. And for 45 minutes, he played his wonderful violin. He played classical music, Bach, Beethoven, and so forth. During the time of his performance, about 1,100 people passed by. Commuters during rush hour. How many do you think stopped to hear him, to listen to his music? Any idea? 7. 27 actually dropped in some money for a total of $32 and change. One person actually recognized him. The other 1,070 did not even look at him. They hurried by, going to their work. This, says the journalist Jean Weingarten, proves that there is a big difference between hearing and listening. Everyone heard Joshua Bell play, but only a few listened to him. When you listen, you need to make a choice. You need to pay attention. You need to tune in, to let your guard down, to enter into communication. You need to be open. Hearing is much more superficial, in one ear, out the other, right? Remember that song by Simon and Garfunkel, The Sound of Silence? That was the 1960s. And in the naked night, I saw 10,000 people, many more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening. It is possible to hear without listening. It's possible to talk without speaking. Now, thank God that modern science and technology is finding ways to deal with deafness and with hearing impediments and speech impediments. But you know what? Modern technology is not able to deal with the other problem, the incapacity, the inability to listen. We can get a hearing aid and hear perfectly and still not listen. We can have speech therapy and be able to really speak plainly and still not be able to communicate. I believe that this is really a serious problem because, you know, listening and speaking is the stuff of which humanity is made. That's what makes us human beings, the fact that we are able to communicate, we are able to say and listen to the things that make our life worthwhile. I remember, I think it was Pope John Paul II, who once said, "Today, love has changed its name. Today, love is called dialogue. When you dialogue, you're truly loving." So, we need to listen. We need to speak. We need to say the things that are important. How often have I heard people saying how much they regret not saying the important things while they had a chance. Things such as, I love you, or please forgive me, or I'm sorry, and so forth. We fail to say the things that are important. We fail to listen to each other. And this becomes an even greater problem spiritually. If it's a problem for us, for our relationship, it is even more so for our relationship with God. Because God, you know what, speaks. That's the amazing good news, the amazing theology and spirituality of the Bible. God speaks. The idols are mute and deaf, but God speaks. And what does God's word want to but to be listened to? God is communication between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is an eternal dialogue of love and wants to include us, to make us participants of this dialogue. And that's why the Word became flesh, and the Word wants to be heard, wants to be listened to. This is why we hear in today's Gospel the beautiful story of the healing of a man who was deaf and mute. Yes, Jesus was known as a healer, so people brought to him this poor person who had not experienced the joy of communication, of dialogue, of listening and speaking. But this miracle has also a more profound meaning. Remember, the most important commandment of the Old Testament is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Shema Israel, listen Israel. Every devout Jew still prays that prayer every single day. Listen Israel. This man was not able to listen. And he also had a speech impediment. He stammered and stuttered, and spiritually, we do the same. How many of us are able really to speak eloquently, intelligently about our faith? If they ask us about our faith, why do you believe this? What's your faith about that? We find it difficult to speak eloquently. Jesus heals him. How does he do it? First, he takes him aside, all by himself, away from the crowd. That's a very important detail. If we want to have better relationships among ourselves, deeper communication with those who are important to us, if we want deeper communication with God, we need once in a while to get away, away from the noise, away from the crowd. We need silence, because only silence can conceive a meaningful word. All the other words that we speak in a hurry usually are superficial, but a word that is conceived in silence has depth, has meaning. Then Jesus put his finger into the man's ears. He touched his ears. The finger of God. That's a powerful symbol in the Old Testament. It was the finger of God who wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone. It's the finger of God that gives life to Adam. Remember the beautiful fresco in the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel by Michelangelo. God's finger touching Adam and giving him life. Even Jesus quoted that symbol, that image, when he said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The finger of God is the symbol of his power, of his wisdom. Jesus touched that man. We need to allow God to touch us if we want really to have deep, profound communication with him. And then Jesus put saliva on that mute man's tongue. It seems a little gross, but keep in mind that saliva has healing properties. That's why many animals lick their wounds. That's why moms usually kiss their children where it hurts, right? Because that heals it. The saliva is the symbol, again, of the power, the healing power of the Word of God. If we allow the Word of God to touch us, it will heal us. And God speaks His Word with such enthusiasm that He ends up speaking while talking, like me. That's why Jesus uses saliva. It is a symbol, powerful symbol, of the healing properties, the healing qualities of His Word. Then we heard that Jesus looked up to heaven and groaned. He connected with the Father and groaned, let out His Spirit, His sight. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's almost a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation that we hear of here. Jesus breathes out His Spirit into this man's life. And finally He said, Ephphatha, be open. A word that is still repeated every time we celebrate baptism. At baptism, the priest or minister, or deacon, blesses the ears and the mouth of the baptized person, saying, the Lord, who made the deaf hear and the dumb speak, may touch your ears to receive His word and your mouth to proclaim His faith. May we truly be blessed and be made open to listening each other, first of all, and the Word of God, and to speak the words that are important, so that we may not continue to be stammerers when it comes to faith, when it comes to our love for the Lord. Let us pray that all of us may be truly touched by God's finger and may be open to listening and to speaking with meaning, with sincerity, that we may truly establish healthy relationships among us and with God. Amen.